Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Chris Hardern and Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Bill.
Hello, guys.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm very pleased to be here this evening. We had a
wonderful
show.
Yes, audience. We had our guest was Loretta from San Francisco. Our sister, our dear sister, our teacher, Loretta, who wanted to convey to you, audience, that during this time, you must be aware of the allegiance to our Lord Jesus Christ and not to the world. Her thoughts and prayers are with you, and she is just a wonderful sister that studies herself approved and has been with our show for the past year, helping us in our studies. Just a wonderful visit on the pre-show, and her message is to endure and to keep your focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Chris?
Yeah, I sure did enjoy having her. She has just been such an encouragement. She's out there fighting the fight, like the rest of us, and a homeschooling mom, and she's just I just try to keep her in my prayers all the time, and I agree with you, Bob.
Now, audience, tonight we have a kind of a synopsis. We're going to tie a couple of related scriptures to the end of Revelation 13 and begin Revelation 14. And then we also want you to be aware of the breakout studies that are current. Brother Bill, you want to tell us about your breakout studies this week?
Yeah, I have one that should be coming out. All about the mark of the beast and who the beast in Scripture actually is, on an individual layer and on a collective layer. And I have another study that should be coming up shortly on the first false prophet in Acts chapter 8, Simon the Sorcerer. And I believe I have a study on. Look real quick here. The short-term memory stuff is getting to be a real drag. Faith and unbelief. As I did a study on William Tyndale, his writings on the Book of Romans, and just an incredible understanding this man had of the Scripture. I'm totally amazed of what he understood. He was far, far ahead. Head of Luther and many of those other people in the Protestant Reformation. And he really wasn't a churchgoer. He wasn't really involved in the church. He was just kind of like an individual seeking the Lord. and his understanding was incredible.
And after
and
current,
I have I might have one more show. Not sure. We did a Meek show last night, you and I, Bob. That you had an excellent study laid out for that. We'll have that out shortly.
Yes, and thank you for joining me, Brother Bill.
Oh, you're very welcome.
It's a pleasure to do. Really.
Yes, it was.
An audience, these breakout studies are scriptural. And in terms of the proper rendering of scripture, we looked at the events, current events, and we try and apply the appropriate rendering of scripture to give you a definitive understanding of the importance of knowing the proper renderings of scripture. When Jesus was in the desert and tempted by Satan, he admonished Satan that it is written. And that same scripture that was quoted in the New Testament was from the Old Testament. So the word has endured. And who is it to say that God cannot preserve his word? We are admonished, you know, to stay in the word. And to understand the spiritual aspects of the gospel. If you want to know the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ, read this gospel. As we proceed with current events, then we're going to have a little discussion on the Gog-Magog War, which both Chris and Bill are working on diligently for you to give the proper rendering. Then we're going to proceed to understand the merchandising that is part of the current events and the great falling away, and proceed to the Revelation study. Brother Chris, current events?
Yeah, well, I don't know what more to say about this rapture hoax. You know, I was just, I couldn't believe was how big it had gotten. I mean, everywhere I went, people were talking about it. And, you know, it's just, I've got theories on it and what was actually taking place there. But I'm sure that there were some, you know, evil forces behind this thing. I think it was certainly more than just this Harold Camping, you know, acting alone. You know, it just was clearly an exercise in destabilization, you know, just however it was controlled or manipulated, you know, with the kind of money that was involved, you know that, you know, it can't be good. But you see, you know, what they're trying to do is they're just trying to cause, you know, confusion. And, you know, the destabilization we're seeing taking place in the Middle East right now, I believe this was not unlike that, you know, the same type of thing. Because now today, you know, since Saturday, there are many Christians that were, you know, that were, you know, having trouble with this thing. And, you know, what do you say? And I just know that the Masons plan for the Third World War, which we see fomenting in the Middle East, like, you know, that thing's getting really hot right now. And, you know, their goal is to cause the multitude, you know, disillusioned with Christianity. Is what one, you know, I'm just taking an excerpt from the quote from Albert Pike. The multitude disillusioned with Christianity. You know, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to unsettle Christianity. You know, there's several angles that came at this thing. You know, first off, the rapture cult itself was confused, and then you know, there's the rapturists that would say, oh, maybe this whole rapture thing's a bunch of baloney anyway. And I believe that there were many people watching Glenn Beck today with a new attitude, you know, leaning more towards the Dominionist point of view, which is really the predominant thought behind the New World Order, which is what we're seeing, you know, being put into place right now. You know, convincing the Christians that we're going to take the world back for Jesus and, you know, take our country back, the world back for Jesus. And, you know, these people don't know their scripture. But you see, this is the predominant end-time view that is, you know, on the scene today. And it's only going to continue. And it all has one thing in common, Israel. it's all pointing towards the little horn nation state of Israel. So that's, you know, that's my perspective on that. I've got several other points, but I'll, you know, turn it over to you guys if you have anything to say.
Bill?
Oh, yeah, it all seems to be it's going to be a universalism headed up in Israel. That's how I see it. Eventually, you know, how they're going to group it all together, I don't know. I guess the bin Laden news is old news now after the failed rapture. There'll be something new every week now. The Gulf is old news. We don't hear about that anymore. We don't hear about the Japan meltdown over there. Big events that are just being overlooked by you know, a lot of the silliness going on in the world.
And audience, you have to understand, excuse me, when you have the proper rendering of scriptures and you know the identities of the biblical end times generation, you're told many things that you need to be aware of in this rapture doctrine of Satan that was invoked on all the people, and these are good people, audience, that were, you could equate it to being led into the desert by a idol shepherd. And we're told, they will say, Jesus is in the desert, believe them not, go thee not. And you're also told in 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And what this is saying, audience, is currently there's a famine on the land for the word. There's a famine on the land for bread, the bread of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the people that were taken in by this hoax, this merchandising of the people, great merchandising. Are we, that ministry is $100 million in change?
Yeah,
is that right?
Like that.
And here you have a false prophet leading all these people in, but you're told it's through the gospel. And they did not have the proper rendering of scripture. They were not prepared to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And they went into the desert, and we pray and hope that this is a example that you can look at and apply the proper scriptures to this, because it's through this gospel. And they have been preaching this pre-tribulation rapture cult for years, and millions and millions and millions of people are deceived. And now they have a definitive date that they've built up for 4 or 5 months. We were told by Loretta they had signs everywhere, billboards. Now those
I don't know how many times they've done this. I mean, when I first came to the Lord in the early 80s, you know, the Hal Lindsey thing was all over the place. And, you know, he was sure that the rapture couldn't go past 1988. And, you know, this Harold Camping had predicted the early 90s, and now this date. But, you know, it's just impossible to do that. I mean, we're basically forbidden to set dates.
And
but, it's, you know, there's more to this than I think meets the eye.
Yes, I agree with you, Chris. This is a man-made, great deal of money involved. And, you know, you have merchandisers that are scriptural in terms of exactly what's happening. They're merchandising the Word of God, and as they merchandise it, they're going with their own program and not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere in any of these churches is anyone pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ. They are pointing to the church. An audience, the identity of the church is the false prophet. Bill?
Well, absolutely, it's the false prophet. It's Behemoth, and they've pretty much, Behemoth has drawn up all the water from the River Jordan. And there's no fountains of living water in these churches, no. Just doctrines of demons and traditions of men. They go to church, to get holy water, and you're lucky if you take a thimble if you could fill it up. And if you just pick up your Bible and seek the Lord Jesus Christ earnestly, contend for the faith, the fountains of living water will flow freely wherever you are, wherever you walk in this world. The fountains of living water will flow freely within you.
In a very
These people are all wizards, sorcerers. You know, we think sorcerers are people that have fortune cookies and Ouija
pointy
boards hat. No, I'm telling you, these churches are the same thing. They're just like Ouija boards. They're Christian Ouija boards.
And as unbelievable as this is, these poor people were totally deceived. They went out into the desert, and now, how did they contemplate coming back to the Lord? They were told.
Go ahead, Bob. Sorry.
I was just going to say, they were told not to do this. They were told to study this gospel, and the Holy Spirit would have revealed to them exactly what's going on. But now they're buying DVDs, they're buying videos of, what was that, Left Behind series was 10 million, 15, 20 million?
Yeah.
And Hal Lindsey made how much money? A merchandiser. And these church movements that we went through in our first shows all describe this. If you're new, audience, we would ask that you listen to our first shows where we're telling the people that the proper rendering of Scripture says, come out of her, the false prophet Babylonian church, and come unto me, our Lord Jesus Christ. And on the other side of this is, I knew you not, because you do not enter covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. You enter covenant with doctrines of demons. And you're admonished to study yourself approved. And it's by the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they have overturned every scripture possible. And before we move on to more current events, Chris, I didn't mean to break into this. I just wanted to say that the proper rendering of scripture's audience is only found by studying yourself approved and understanding the metaphorical language that's used in the scriptures. And it's, if you have in our generation live prophecy, then you must enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit reveal this to you. It is not of men that this is given. It is for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Lord God. Chris?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of frustrated about this thing because I was just watching it with, no comment, But then as it dawned on me how big this thing had gotten, I just kind of felt, I don't know what I felt about it. But it really did really open my eyes to just how deceived people are. And this is because these people aren't reading their Bibles. They're trusting these guys like this. And, I had to dig in there then and go, I guess I got to get involved here. I'm almost sick of talking about it, because it's actually pitiful, to be honest with you, this whole thing. But when I realized how many people were everywhere I went, they said something about it, made a comment. I don't know if it's people that knew I was a Christian or what, but... well, you're still here or something, crazy like that. But honestly, I knew there wasn't going to be any rapture, although I there's that talk that they're going to fake that.
And actually, you're not here, Chris.
No, I'm not. I'm on Mount Zion with the Lord.
Right,
so I guess
exactly. They can't even understand that. That would be like speaking Chinese to them.
But I actually was really thinking that they might have pulled something, like maybe possibly lit off this New Madrid or who knows what, you know. But I'm as this thing progresses, I'm very acutely aware of the fact that the Masons, and I definitely smelled Masonic deception behind this thing. And I bet $100 that this Camping was a Mason. And, you know, he's a deceiver, an intentional deceiver. And honestly, you know, there's another weird side note. You know, the Masons have a thing about public humiliation. I mean, it's part of their ritual. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was some of that going on here. I'm just saying that. And when I'm done talking about it tonight, I hope this is the last I have to talk about this one. But this is definitely clear that the deception is really, it's really here on us, you know, in a clear, I don't even really know the whole magnitude of this deception. You know, I see what the face value, but, you know, it's definitely time to really, you know, certainly, if we're going to take one thing out of this thing is don't trust these lying pastors because, you know, and then, you know, one problem I'm really worried about here now is that they'll demonize this guy to the point where, see, this is what happens when you stray from the organized church, the licensed 501c3 church, because they're the only ones you can trust. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of that out there. You know, we'll start seeing the commentaries this week about this thing, but whatever. You know, you listeners know what to do. And you know the truth, and you know it's just time to have your discernment tuned in as fine tuned as you can, because this is nothing. This is nothing. What's coming? So you know, and I'm going to talk about some things in current events here that are going to really, because I'll tell you, there's some other real deception coming, and I'm going to make a comment here on something that's on the forefront right now, and that's Jerome Corsi's new book, and I know that the White House had have knowledge of this thing when they pulled this, you know, this birth certificate, you know, hoax, which, by the way, I mean, if anybody doesn't realize, this birth certificate that they present, it's a complete fraud. You know, it's the most poorly, you know, thrown together, you know, forgery. No, there's just no discussion. But, you know, the comment was that what they did is they did it internally, like in the White House. Like, they didn't go to the CIA or the FBI to do it, but they did it internally. And, you know, there was something about that. I heard somebody make a comment about that. Regardless, there is a book coming out right now, Jerome Corsi, who is, he's a truth guy out there, an author, very knowledgeable, very smart. But I'm gonna give you some warnings about this, folks. But he's got a new book out. I think it's called Where's the Birth Certificate or something like that. And he goes way into Obama's past. And, you know, this Obama is a complete fraud. I mean, the guy has no history. You know, all these colleges he went to, no one knows him. You know, the guy is just like he's a Manchurian candidate for sure. I mean, there's something out there now where he's another alias that I can't even think of the name, but regardless. But anyway, the thing, it's not about Obama. It's about the marketing of this book. Okay, it's being marketed through WorldNet Daily. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, when you see WorldNet Daily, you got to realize the guy behind WorldNet Daily is a guy named Joseph Farah. Beware. This guy is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I'll tell you why we know that. It's because this guy is Council on National Policy. And I want you to know, if anybody in the audience doesn't realize the sinister nature of an organization, a secret society called the Council on National Policy. I'm telling you right now, beware. Because this, my friends, is the deception. Because this is the deception that is masked in the Christian right and the people that are linked to this Council on National Policy. Well, to start off, it was founded by 33 degree Masons. It's all Masons. It was founded by 33 degree Mason Tim LaHaye, you know, left behind deception. You know, this guy's probably single-handedly responsible for more souls going to the lake of fire. But, you know, this organization is a Christian front group for the Christian right, which is infiltrated with Freemasonry, which is all deception. This Council of National Policy is where Salem Communications comes out of, which, you know, Salem Communications is the organization that owns most of the Christian media, broadcasting, you know, TV, radio, publishing, and these are the people that are responsible for this garbage, lukewarm, social doctrine that has taken over, you know, the church. And, you know, this is where it all comes out of. And the people that are associated with this organization, you know, the big money, the DeMoss family, Blackwater, you know, the Prince family, Coors, all these people that masquerade as Christians. You know, these guys are all frauds. And, you know, but this is the thing that you know, is the thing to really beware of. And I'm really feeling it's been on my heart, you know, to educate people about this, because this is the stuff lurking behind the scenes that we're not aware of. And I'm gonna put a video in the interest of time. I'm not gonna play it right now because it's got visual and it's pretty neat. I'm gonna put a link to it on the show notes tonight on the blog. But this video, I'm gonna qualify it, folks. Be careful. I mean, it's put out by you know, recently announced presidential candidate Ron Paul, who I don't trust. He's a Freemason. He's controlled opposition. But hey, they put out, you know, information. And he's put out a little 5-minute documentary on the neocons, naming names. I think that's what it's called. And it's excellent. It's an excellent expose of the neocon British industrial complex. And this is the thing to really watch for, folks, because this is exactly what we just spent the last few weeks describing in Revelation 13. This is the beast government aligned with the church, and it exposes it. And it was started right out of the same time period as the pale horse that we've gone into. And the founder of the neocon movement was a man named Leo Strauss, who is a master deceiver. He was the father of the ideology that the elite are entitled to deceive the masses, because the masses don't have the courage or wisdom to rule the government, and that lying is acceptable for the betterment of the society. Well, this is all a philosophy that comes out of this guy Leo Strauss, and anybody would want to, you know, educate yourself and figure out, you know, who this guy is, you know, see what he was all about. But he was the father of the neocon movement, which is what we see in full swing today. And there's one common denominator in this whole deal, you know, all aligned with these. You'll recognize the names that they rattle off, but there's one thing, and that is their alignment with Israel. Okay, so they've got the Christian movements and the one world government, all lined in this thing. And it's an excellent little 5-minute video that it would be worth your while watching. And I'm telling you, it's all hooked to this Council on National Policy, as Satan is truly seated on the Mount of the Congregation. And this is where we need to keep our focus, because this is where the real deception is. You know, these deceptions like the rapture on May 21st. I mean, I just hope that our listening audience, that this stuff was obvious to you. And, you know, our heart breaks for those who it wasn't obvious to, but I'm telling you that the deception is going to be much, much deeper than this. And, you know, and that's where I'll leave it for now. Thanks, Bob.
Brother Bill, any comments, current events?
Well, I just noticed that Chris said that they felt that lying was acceptable, and this was linked to Israel in ways. So I guess they've kind of thrown the Old Testament out of Moses then. I guess it's okay to lie now. And then I guess if you throw that away, is it going to be okay to kill certain groups of people too?
Well, sure.
For the betterment of everyone. You know, that's where these things, I see that's the direction of things going.
Absolutely.
Now, audience, all of our studies are biblical studies, and they use the proper rendering of scriptures to tell the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all we found out in the churches is just false doctrines of demons that have led so many people, millions and millions of people are in the apostate church. And the Lord admonishes, come out of that. Come out of her, the church, the Babylonian church. Come out of spiritual Egypt. Come out of spiritual Sodom and come unto me. And that's it.
Yeah. Why? Because it's leavened. The church is leavened. A little leaven is leavened the whole loaf. And what happened was the church 20 years ago was convinced that God was more interested in growth than with purging out the leaven. And that's what happened. And this is what we have today. You know, the whole loaf is leavened. The church is, a habitation of every hateful, unclean and hateful bird. You know, this is symbolic of the serpents and scorpions. You know, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air are nested in its branches, you know, and this is what this means. And, you know, the bottom line is, folks, is in the end, the church goes bad. And that's when God's remnant see it, when they see the abomination, when they see the abomination that's taken place, that's seated in the temple, that the Antichrist spirit is seated in the temple, which is, scriptural, the proper rendering of those of the teaching of the Antichrist, you flee. You flee to the wilderness. The wilderness is the truth. The wilderness is a symbolic term for standing in the truth, having your loins girded with truth. And this is where God's people is. This is where the true church is now. The wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. This is what it says in Isaiah. The church goes bad. It happened once. I mean, well, you know, the cycle of apostasy in the Old Testament, you know, was ongoing, but it culminated at the time of Christ, where the religious system killed Jesus Christ.
And you could say it's a recapitulation, gentlemen, that in the darkest time of Israel, when they're under Roman and every prophecy of the Old Testament is fulfilled, and they know it not. And why do they don't want to accept our Lord? Because if they accept our Lord, they're out of work. They don't have their prestige. They don't have their jobbies with all their robes and glory. We're admonished many times, you know, the man that comes in to the synagogue in poor dress, you know, and he's laminating about how, you know, the sinner that he is versus the Pharisee who is praying and chanting and is telling how good he is. Now, that's happening now. And they're all on TV, they all got books, they all have DVDs, and they're merchandising the multitude of people.
And they all have beautiful smiles.
They come as
smiles.
As angels of light. When they are actually, they're serpents and scorpions, or angels of demons. And they will
John
be...
John the Baptist had to leave all that and go in the wilderness, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all for in samples for us to understand these allegories, analogies, parables. And the only way, audience, that you can do this properly is to study yourself approved. Not because we tell you, but to confirm to you and be led by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be able to stand with our Lord Jesus Christ. Gentlemen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's,
we stand, you know, stand with our loins girded with truth, because that's where the Lord's protection is in these perilous, perilous times that are ahead. You know, and I got one other little note I want to add in here with the current events here, too. Something else that, you know, I put together today with, you know, I listen to the talk radio. I make the rounds you know, we heard when Obama campaigned, I don't know if you guys remember, but he said, we need a domestic army, just as strong, just as well-funded.
An SS Gestapo, in other words.
Yeah, and you know what that is? That's the TSA. I mean, this thing isn't... Yeah. This TSA thing is getting really big. I mean, that TSA is ramping up, man. I mean, they're on the move now to control everything. You know, this is Egyptian slavery is what it is. It's a whole recapitulation of that. And, you know, I hope that, you know, the Lord, you know, leads, you know, to do a study on the correlation between the slavery that they went through and, you know, then and, you know, what we see now, because this is what happens, you know, when people forsake their God, you know, Bill ties it to the, you know, just an example like the Alexandrian text, when these scriptures, you know, the diminishment of the word of God, you know, and, you know, we see this all at work right now, because, you know, what these globalists are trying to do is they're trying to control society. That, you know, the George Soros, clan is, you know, they're going to control energy, you know, control us through energy. You know, this is what they're doing in the Middle East. They're shutting down, you know, they're trying to shut down the production over there to, you know, cause, you know, that's where they're going to get us in our gas tanks, you know. And, you know, destabilizing everything over there, these smart meters on the houses, you know, controlling our electricity. And, you know, they're going to, it's just going to get, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how long the Lord tarries. You know, that's all. I don't know. But, you know, this stuff's all happening, you know, and it's all going to be, you know, God protecting his remnant from, you know, that are accounted worthy to escape, you know, what's coming. Because this is, you know, going to definitely be tied to the tribulation. And what it is, you know, the untempered mortar, these walls that people have built with untempered mortar, the untempered mortar are the lies in these fortresses that they've built. And, you know, this untempered mortar doesn't stick the bricks together. And, you know, and these walls are going to fall, you know, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, "Let's say it to the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken," you know. It's all this nonsense that's coming out of these churches, because they stop purging sin, and this is what you get. This is what happens. And, you know, they're just tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, finding people with itching ears, finding a pastor, the smorgasbord, open up the yellow pages, see the churches in your community. You can go to any one of them, you know, in 7 weeks' time, you can make the rounds, and you can find just the church for you. Just the church that's telling you what you want to hear. And it's all lies. None of it's the truth. I'm open to it. You show me a 501c3 church that's preaching the truth, I'll go there. I'll listen to it. But we cannot find it. We can't find it. And it's because it's the woman riding the beast. They love not the truth. And it's for this cause God has sent them strong delusion. And these are the times we're in right now, folks.
And it's important to understand it. We're told this was going to happen, audience. We're told through the scriptures. And in Luke 8:18, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." And the proper rendering in that, audience, is that these people that thought they were going to be raptured were not in our Lord Jesus Christ. And on one level, you can say that they are tares. And on one level, you can say they were seed that fell away. Regardless, there's a plumb line set. And the plumb line is true. And the proper rendering of the scriptures all through Genesis to Revelation is you're either in Jesus Christ or you're not. You're either in covenant or you're not. And the plain truth is that right now our Lord is ruling and reigning. And his kingdom is not of this world. And he ascended into heaven to his kingdom. And in like manner he will descend. And it will be the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told to prepare yourself for that coming, and you will have great tribulations. Now, the great tribulations that the people of the past 2 months that were indoctrinated in this rapture cult basically have had tribulation in their life right now. And it's our hope and prayer that they turn from this false prophet, and they turn from this church, the false prophet identified in Scripture as the churches that are apostate, apostasia, and they come unto Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we go through the Scriptures for the past year, Actually, it's been 2-3 years for all three of us. We're coming to the conclusion that we may be in that little season, because we definitively know that there's a famine for the Word of God. Now, coming up in the next 2 weeks is going to be a breakout study on Gog and Magog. We're going to take a little time just to discuss the basic premise. Bill, Chris?
Yeah, just one comment about what you just said. You know, the one thing that I know is that I see the condition of the church, and I know that this great apostasy, I can't imagine how it can get any worse. When I see the condition of the people in these harlot churches, you know, who have been corrupted with flatteries by the false prophet message coming across the pulpit, and these people are absolutely oblivious to what's coming, absolutely oblivious, and you know, these pastors should be preparing them for the indignation of the Lord that's upon us. And they're clueless. They have no idea. And you know, this is the problem. You know, it's going to be, this is what it's going to take to wake them up. And, you know, there's a purpose for it. And, I, you know, in Isaiah 6, it addresses it. You know, I'll read in from 8. This is a familiar verse that is, and this is one of the evangelicals' favorite verses, but they don't realize that this is about them. But it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" You know, that's a very overused verse of scripture in the evangelical church, because this is, you know, the Lord sending Isaiah to talk to the church. And he said, "Go and tell his people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of his people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, 'Lord, how long?' And he answered, 'Until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate.'" I mean, this is what it's going to take, you know. "The abomination that maketh desolate." You know, this abomination, this idolatry that's happening in these harlot corporate churches is going to end in desolation. You know, it's going to be brutal. And, you know, on a metaphoric spiritual layer, this has already happened. The churches are desolate. The sacrifices cease. You know, the daily sacrifice of a contrite heart and a broken spirit, the sacrifice that the Lord despises not, is not happening in these churches, as they're puffed up and in need of nothing. But, you know, the Lord is going to reconcile this. And the question is, how long, O Lord? And, you know, it's going to take this... It's going to take this devastation to wake them up, so that their souls are saved. But it's hard to envision it, how it's going to be. But I do know one thing, and that is the condition of the church today, the great apostasy. I can't imagine it getting any worse. I literally cannot imagine these circus shows in these churches getting any worse, because I know these people. I know where they're at. And they, perceive their social interaction and how nice people are with God's blessing. But, it's absolute fallacy. It's not the way it is at all, because, they don't consider they consider the goodness, but they fail to consider the severity of God. Because this is God. You know, our God is strict. He sets snares for people. And, his ways are not our ways. But unfortunately today, everybody's rationalizing who God is by relying on their own understanding. You know, but we're absolutely, admonished to not rely on our own understanding.
And the enemy, audience, the enemy is the testers of your faith. The enemy are instruments of judgments on you. And you are to endure. You are to focus. You are to fasten your eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ and not be taken in by false doctrines of demons. You're not to go out into the desert. And at this time, you've just seen millions and millions of people follow this apostasia. And you have to gird yourself. You have to put on the whole armor of the Lord and understand this. It is the armor of light. And you can only find it to pray to our Lord Jesus Christ and enter into his salvation by the repentance of sins. You must step back and look around and witness this world through the scriptures. And it is plainly seen. Problem is that every time that we have a new breakout that is scriptural, it is nothing like they are teaching in the churches. Absolutely not. The scriptures overturn every doctrine of demons, and it plainly outlays the plan of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we enter into a understanding of Gog Magog, it's totally different than anything being preached right now, anything we've ever seen. But it's the basic scriptural understanding that was given to the apostles, and that's why they have written about it. Now, we're just going to cover a couple minutes on that, Brother Bill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one layer, Gog and Magog, is just the tribulation. You know, it's the spiritual confrontation, as we fight spiritual battles, as Paul says, from wickedness in high places, and these spiritual demons inhabit the terrors, and that, you know, that's where our battle is, and it's a battle with evilness. Speaking on the behalf of the rapture, real quickly, not in behalf, but. What it is, it's an assault on Jesus Christ and his resurrection and truly being reborn again of the Spirit and being redeemed from this earth and seated in heavenly places. And this is why the rapture ties in so well with the millennial reign and the false understanding of Daniel's 70th week. Because truly, Christ, those that in Christ that have been redeemed from this earth and are ruling and reigning, in a sense, they've already been spiritually raptured into his kingdom. I don't like using that word rapture, but I'm just using it for sake of equation and conversation right now. But they want to do this in the flesh. They want their redeeming and seated in heavenly places through the flesh. So this rapture doctrine is very flesh friendly. The true picking up your cross and following Jesus Christ and abiding in him and counting yourself worthy is really not flesh friendly.
No, absolutely not.
And being armed in the Spirit is being able to decipher the deception in the church. And anyone that comes to you and says, this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know by your own studying, your own, to make sure of your election, you study the scriptures and you begin to recognize that these are not scriptural. These are flattery.
You can say this, then you can come to the point where you say, it is written.
And that's where
then you show them in Scripture where it's not true.
And the proper rendering of Scripture is always, from Genesis to Revelation, it's the weight of Scripture. When you look up leaven, audience, you will find leaven's bad all the way through Scripture. And if a woman, the church, hides three measures of leaven, and leavens the whole lump, the proper rendering of that Scripture is that the church is totally leavened, and leaven scripturally from Genesis to Revelation is all bad.
Yeah, I know of a guy on a website teaching thousands of people that leaven is a good thing. You know, he's teaching the false John Wesley doctrine, and we can look around and see how well that's worked, how well the church has prospered.
And the just the simple analogies of our Lord with the multitude of people and there could have been 20,000 people there, and the great healings, and all these events. And he turns around and says to the apostles and disciples, when they're asking him questions, it's not for them to be given. But he always explained the parables to the apostles and disciples. And that is the key signature of studying yourself approved, is when you have a love of the truth, the Holy Spirit will come into you. And the Holy Spirit will reveal the true rendering of Scripture. And if we're studying something here, and you have the Holy Spirit teaching you, you will teach. And it may be something totally different, something totally made exactly for you, if our Lord knows every hair on your head. The proper renderings of Scriptures will come to you to do His will. You strive to do the will of the Father. You strive to stay in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you could see from the past week as an example, millions were deceived. And as this progresses, millions and millions of people will be deceived, and they are, the Lord knows they're deceived. And somewhere along the line, this is going to end. And the serpents and scorpions are going to be marked. And in that marking is also the marking of the Israel of God. And this is the most important thing in this generation, is to stay focused on Jesus Christ. Brother Chris?
Yeah, that was really great, Bob. But yeah, just to give you a introduction to where we're going to be heading with this Gog Magog. Because, you know, what happened was, you know, the Revelation 13 study just brought us here. You know, we're just running right alongside, you know, I don't know, maybe a little bit ahead of you guys out there in the audience. As the Lord shows us this stuff, you know, we all just work together through the week, and it's just, you know, the Lord's just, for some reason in the last few weeks, it's just been downloading stuff to me. I've just been getting it. You know, nothing, I'm not, you know, saying I'm predicting the future or anything. I'm just tying Scripture together, you know, that the Lord's showing me. And then Bill and Bob just, you know, we all help each other and volley back and forth with emails and stuff. But anyway, with the work that Bill had done with the Gog Magog, and then, you know, I just, you know, just to qualify what the Gog Magog war is essentially what it is the time that the church turns on itself. And in all of God's wisdom, amazingly, He carries out His judgment in the end days with His own people. It's his, the apostate church comes against the multitude. And this is the tribulation. This is what takes place. And it's all described in the Gog Magog event, if you will. And, bear in mind that we maintain here that we see today the Freemasonic Zionists are basically counterfeiting Bible prophecy. And what they're doing is they're counterfeiting the spiritual prophetic understandings in the physical. And this is the heart of the deception. And there's nothing more obvious once you understand the teaching here, is that the Gog Magog war. You know, we've heard all these crazy scenarios that it's, you know, Russia coming down against Israel and, you know, the power of the North and all that stuff. It's all lies. It's all garbage. None of that's not what this is teaching. And so over the next, you know, we'll do several breakout studies tying this together. But I just wanted to, lead into it where we left off last week with the Revelation 13 Mark of the Beast, because believe me, this is all part of it. You know, we told you last week that the merchandisers are the serpents and scorpions that merchandise you. They merchandise the multitude, and this is what this is what's going on in the Gog Magog war. It's the merchants of Tarshish. I'll read Ezekiel 38. You know, Gog Magog is described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. probably some of the most misinterpreted pieces of scripture in the Bible. But 38:13 says, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? I mean, here we are. You know, this is describing the merchandising, you know, going on. And, you know, we're going to see amazing things, folks, as this stuff comes out. You know, I'm already, you know, shaking in my own boots myself, you know, with the understanding the Lord has given me. And, you know, I'm going to be just as excited as hopefully you are as, you know, the Lord opens these and I truly believe that this is absolutely Daniel, the sealed words of Daniel being opened to us. He said to Daniel, go that way, Daniel. These words will be sealed to the time of the end. And I really believe it's the Lord is opening this up now for this time. And, you know, I'm just, you know, grateful that, you know, he's, you know, given us understanding in this, you know, passage, this portion of scripture. And I just want to, you know, give all the credit to you know, to Sue and Randy with the third day studies, because they laid the groundwork here. And ironically, they started it was like one of the last studies that they had done before they went into the synopsis studies. And they didn't finish it. They didn't finish the Gog-Magog study. And, you know, I'm just kind of feeling now that, you know, with our understanding of the thousand-year kingdom and, you know, the seeing the merchandise, you know, the merchandising, you know, making my father's house a house of merchandise, you know, and tying that to the doves, the multitudes in the temple, and woe to you merchandisers, your, you know, damnation slumbereth not and judgment lingereth not, you know, it says in 2 Peter. So clearly, this is what what's happening. And, you know, we showed clearly that the mark of the beast is the decision, the multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is at hand in the valley of decision. The decision is to come out of the harlot church, and the decision is to not become merchandise in the harlot Christian church system. And this is where we are, and you're going to just see this thing driven home as we go into this Gog-Magog study.
Brother Bill?
Yeah, that Tarshish you were speaking about, it's, you know, it's tied right into King Solomon and the city of Tyre.
Oh, yeah.
It's tied into Ezekiel 28 and Satan, and it speaks of Tyrus in there. It's all the same thing. It's all centered around merchandising, and you'll find out, you know, that Satan was a merchandiser and a trafficker in Ezekiel 28.
Yeah. And then you're going to see where...
The deception was that, you know, all the time with this Gog and Magog, and we've discussed this in the past. I always say, how do you get around having this Gog and Magog at the end of the world? It's obviously Ezekiel 38. Many people see it, and you know, and then I say, you're gonna, you know, there's two Gog and Magogs. There's one after the thousand year reign too, and I go, oh really? Where does it say that? And they just read a few verses out of Revelation 20. And that's just how they justify it. Oh, there's two Gog and Magog wars.
Right.
No, I'm sorry, there's not two Gog and Magog wars anywhere in the Bible. It's totally unscriptural.
And then, you know, we see the so clearly, you're gonna see, folks, how this all ties into Joel and
yep.
Joel's army. And we see this thing absolutely in our face today as this Joel's army apostate movement. You know, we've got these characters like Todd Bentley with dog tags tattooed to his chest that say Joel's army. Joel's locust army, the locust who stripped the bark from my fig tree. And little do these deceived masses realize that they are the instruments of God's wrath as they're proclaiming they are the locust army that are going to, you know, fly in unison and take the world back for God and all this nonsense that's out there, these doctrines of demons that are out there, you know, permeating the landscape today. And you're going to see this is all Gog Magog happening as the actual judgment that the Lord brings upon his house. Judgment begins in the house of God, and it comes from the house of God. It comes from the apostate two-thirds. And, you know, we see clearly in Zechariah 13:9, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. See, this is the restoration of the harlot church. The multitudes are restored through the tribulation, the time that they're tried. They're refined as silver is refined, and tried as gold is tried. And this is all done by the church. The two-thirds apostate come against the multitude that wake up, that come to the truth, and are met with opposition by the fornicators and the merchants of the earth.
Yeah, and I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost and fire. And there it is, the fire. Yeah. I was reading last night, a Baptist preacher was saying that the fire was hell, and you don't want any part of that baptism. You just want the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
It's beyond comprehension how totally idiotic these people are teaching behind these pulpits. Beyond comprehension.
They are vessels of wrath. They're meant to deceive people. Okay, their hearts are not circumcised, and they are blind. And once you have the truth and you are circumcised of the heart, and your ears are open, and you're applying all the metaphors of our Lord Jesus Christ and his healings of the sick and suffering and of the sinners. This gospel is not for the churches. This is for the Israel of God that have ears to hear. And as they go out there and preach many, many overturned renderings of Scripture, you, audience, are prepared by the Holy Spirit to understand this. And these studies are a basic outlay for more study by you. And the truth of Scripture will keep being revealed. This time is like no other time. There's oceans being destroyed. There is the Mississippi River. It flowed backwards, audience. The Mississippi River flowed backwards. Hey, these are signatures. They're shadows. And you're told, you know, just stand with our Lord Jesus Christ and that's it. And he will reveal and he will enter into covenant with you. And you will learn the Scriptures. You will find that this Gog invasion is the doctrine of demons coming to test the true remnant. And the true remnant is told to endure and stand in the holy place. Well, the holy place is, if you are the temple of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the holy place in truth. And everyone around you is not. And you're to witness these events. Because as they deceived all these people in our generation, remember, our Lord comes in a like manner. And he comes as a thief in the night. And if you're not prepared for this event, if you're not prepared for your own tribulation, then you will not be gathered into his barn. And through our studies of the thousand-year reign that he's reigning now, and it's the works that you are doing now in the Spirit to understand what you are to do his will and not your will. That is salvation, audience. That is the true rendering of Scripture. Chris?
Oh, man. Amen. You know, I'm just sitting here now. I'll tell you what, folks. I'm just, like, blown away by this. You know, I don't know if you guys are, but I'm just reading my notes here and just thinking it through. And it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, one of our big studies we did early on was Isaiah 28, you know, in 7 it says, but they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink and are out of the way. The priests and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. You know, it's just brutal. This is, you know, this is what we have today. These are the it's talking about the pastor standing in the pulpits at the corner church. And, you know, as God's people do wake up as the tribulation, continues as the events, manifest. You know, this thing is going to be very interesting. You know, and Jared, I'm gonna close out this. I'm excited about this Gog Magog study, and what we're doing, folks, is we're gonna take this thing out of Revelation 13, and we're gonna get into 14 because we spent all this time talking about the mark of the beast, and warned, but hey, we can't forget one thing. You know, we want the mark of God. You know, that's where you want to be. You want the mark of God, and I don't know, maybe Bob can just bring that. He brought it out last week, you know, about the inkhorn and about the people that see the abomination. You know, this is where you want to be. You know, this is why you're here. You know, we see the abomination going on in these churches. But, and I'm going to just close out with a couple of verses in Jeremiah chapter 10 that are appropriate because, silver spread into the plates is brought from Tarshish and gold from Upaz. The work of the workman in the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. You know, we see this all kinds of signatures in that verse. You know, the silver. We just talked about the silver and the gold. You know, that's tried, and I see definite signatures there. And in the but the colors. You know, the purple. You know, who's purple? You know, the mystery Babylon is clothed in purple, and this is what we're seeing on the scene right now, these pictures the Lord is giving us. It's all different accounts of the same story. You know, the Joel's army, the Gog Magog, you know, the merchandisers, the harlot, and we saw this verse 10, chapter 10, verse 9, and the cunning men. We see the word cunning, and we think of Esau, the cunning hunter, which is the spirit of Edom that is upon us today, is these people are all focused on the flesh. And ultimately, you know, the most sinister of all is the way that the Christian church has forfeited its heritage as Israel and are wandering after this physical Israel in the Middle East and the Jewish race of people, which are, we are Jews inwardly now. And that, Israel is the Israel of God. Israel is, was, and always will be people who are in covenant with God. And in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 16, I'm going to close with this tonight. Just look forward to going into Revelation 14. And then we're going to end up in 17. And we're going to keep going with this harlot. And we're going to see who she is and what she's about. And so that we can be equipped to face what's ahead as we warn the people that in our lives that are caught in this snare that the Lord has set. But it says, the portion of Jacob is not like them. So who do we hear in there when we hear the portion of Jacob? That's the remnant, folks. That's the remnant. This is the remnant. For he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. So there it is. You know, the rod of his inheritance. That's the plumb line. That's the truth that we have taught. And, this is coming against, in 21, it says, the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. And oh my gosh, this stuff just goes over and over again. Here we have the commotion out of the north country. Well, this is the serpents, and they're going to be coupled with the scorpions out of the south, coming against the remnant in the end times. And this is it right now. We're here right now, folks. This thing's upon us. I mean, these churches, these militant Christian right churches, fomented by false doctrine coming out of this Council on National Policy. and all the sinister people that are involved with this thing, all deceived. All these people are caught up in their lies, and you know, this monster that is the Harlot Christian Church is you know, fomenting hatred against you know, these supporting these wars, and you know, this thing's upon us, you know, and you know how this thing plays out. Oh, it's going to be very interesting, but I'm telling you what, it's time to definitely find yourself accounted worthy to escape. What's ahead? And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Thanks, everybody, for your loyalty and support. And again, you know, special thanks to Loretta. You know, she's such a blessing and encouragement to us. I'm going to say goodnight.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, I would say seek ye the kingdom of God first, and let the flesh go, and let the ways of the world go, because we've heard this saying in our lifetime, you know, the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket, and that's basically what's happening. And the only answer is Jesus Christ. Grab on and hold as tight as you can, and seek him in all things. He will give you the truth. He will guide the way. He will give you the Holy Spirit, the lamp that will guide your footsteps.
An audience, we're told in Ezekiel 9:4, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh, that cry, for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to others he said, in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. The proper rendering of that scripture, audience, is that the laminating and the weeping that is done in the midst of Israel by the men or maidens is you, who recognize that these poor people are being deceived, and that they are being deceived because it's the will of the Lord that they be deceived. It is he who sends the strong delusion. It is he who gives the vessels of wrath the opportunity to deceive. And the people that are deceived now, there's a great multitude that have good hearts, that are being led like animals to slaughter. And we're told there's going to be a little change in this proper rendering, because the apostate church will tell you it's different. But the proper rendering of this is that there is a mark on the people that are of our Lord Jesus Christ, that preach this gospel, built on the apostles' teachings, built on the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And then there are those that are not. And they are considered Gentiles and heathens, and they're not circumcised spiritual Jews, and they're likened unto tares. And the tares are marked for slaughter. And it's a sobering reality when you understand this, because if you study your scriptures, you will see this was all foretold. And at this time, you can say, what prediction or prophecy can you make? Well, if you're not prepared for our Lord coming like a thief in the night, and your house is not in order, then you can be sure to understand, I knew you not. This is very important, audience. It's the most important decision of your life, to take time away from the fleshly world, to get into your gospel and understand the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you may be his holy vessel. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good night.
down eternity.